What's important is how you are leaving this door tonight. That's what's important, and that's what makes a difference. Because if you came in tonight and you're leaving the same way, then you wasted 2 hours of your life. And if you leave this door tonight with a little change in your mind, then you, not only that you didn't waste your time, you gained your eternity. The reality is that all of you that came here tonight, you didn't come here because you saw a flyer or you got an email. Each and every one of you tonight came here because you were invited by the heavenly court. They had an invitation list. And they said, she's coming tonight, she's coming tonight, he's coming. And you know how many people wanted to come tonight and they couldn't find a babysitter, they couldn't find a ride, they couldn't get out of work? Not because they didn't want to, because from Shamayim they didn't get the opportunity. Each and every one of you got a personal invitation from Shamayim tonight to hear what I have to say, to process the information, and to go out of this door and say, okay. Either you go out of this door and you say, okay, this guy is completely lunatic. Or you go out of this door and you say, you know what? Even if he's 1% right, what am I going out of this door tonight? Is my life going to be exactly the same? Or tonight I'm adding one more thing to my list to get me one more step closer to Hashem. And that's the whole point. That's why I drove 3.5 hours here. Is for you to go out of this door with some change in your mind and saying, you know what? I can't be super Jew, but at least I can do something more tonight that I didn't do yesterday night. That's it. And the next day I'll do one more little thing that I didn't do the day before. And the point is, a lot of people look at me and they're telling me, look, listen, you are like fanatic. I'm never going to be like you. You're like crazy. You're fanatic. You don't have to be me. I choose to be me. You have to choose to be you. It's not about being fanatic. It's about how you do the mitzvah. It's how you do what you do. It's not about sitting in a synagogue all day long and learning Torah. That's not what Hashem put you in this world. Hashem put you in this world to change something in this world. The Torah and the mitzvahs that we have to do. That's the air and the food that our neshama needs. Our body needs air. My body needs food. My neshama needs air and food. That's it. I don't know anyone that says, today I'm not going to eat. Tuesday is not the day that I'm eating. No, every day you eat. And when you don't eat for a couple hours, your body will start driving you crazy. So you make sure that you constantly breathe. I don't know anyone who says, okay, now 5 minutes we're not breathing. Nobody does it. Because the basic things that you need, not only that you don't deprive yourself from, you go extra the extra mile to get more of it. Same thing with your neshama. Your neshama needs food and air. That's why you have Torah and mitzvahs. That's what it is. And there's no difference between any Jews. All the Jews are the same. Maybe some dress different, some says the prayers different. In essence, we're all the same. There's no difference between me and anybody here. I have to eat kosher, you have to eat kosher. Same thing. I have to keep Shabbat, you have to keep Shabbat. Same thing. I have to put tefillin on, you have to put tefillin on. Same thing. There's no discounts, there's no difference between me and you. What I have to do, you have to do. The Torah was given to all of us. And the same way that I put tefillin, you know, the Moshe Rabbeinu, the biggest prophet in history, puts tefillin exactly how I put tefillin. There's no difference from us. He can be the biggest prophet in history. The Torah told me to put tefillin on, I have to put tefillin on. Doesn't matter who I am. So the Torah and the mitzvahs are given to all of us equally. We don't have to do it. There's no questions here. You don't do it. You're missing, you're cutting these channels that are connecting you to Hashem. That's it. It's very simple. But you are mainly put down in this world. You have to refine yourself in this world. You have to work on yourself in this world. It's not about doing the mitzvot. It's the things that inside of you, you came down here to fix your midot. To refine your body, to refine your nefesh. You know, the biggest Talmid, the biggest student of the Arizal, Rabbi Chaim Vital, he says, the mitzvahs in the Torah, we just have to do it. That's everybody. The main reason why we came down to this world is Avodat HaMidot, is fixing my, refining myself. Not to lie, not to cheat, not to be jealous, not to be upset, not to be angry, not to hold grudge. All these things. This is what I came here to work on myself. And Hashem made sure that He puts around me all the right people to push all the right buttons. That's why I'm here. So if I have a problem with lying all day long, so today, instead of lying 1,000 times, I'll lie 99 times. And if I have a problem with anger, so today I'm going to control myself one time not to get angry, because something irrelevant happened in my life. And not to hold grudge, and not to be jealous, and not to hate, and not to gossip. All these things, these are the things what Hashem wants you to do. And of course we have to do all the mitzvahs. This is a given. This I'm not even talking about, because everybody is the same. I can't give a discount to anybody. We all have to do the same thing. And it's not about how much you do, it's how you do. Hashem doesn't get impressed when you're doing a mitzvah. You're not impressing Him. You are impressing Hashem how much love went into the mitzvah, how much effort went into the mitzvah, how much thought, how much money, how much excitement. Hashem is looking at that. He's not looking if you actually did it. You're not impressing anyone. The point is that Hashem gave each and every one of us a time in this world to achieve something. And the sad thing is that all of us have right here an expiration date. We all have an expiration date. Just the problem is that we don't know what's that date. One person gets 80 years, one person gets 70 years, one person gets 30 years. My poor brother-in-law got 39 years. That was his expiration date. One day, he's out. We don't know the expiration date. How many people? They wake up in the morning, they go to work, they come back home, car accident, die on the spot. They didn't prepare. My brother-in-law, he didn't say goodbye to his wife. He just went, put on his sneakers, and went out for a jog. The point is not to live in fear that any second something's going to fall from the sky and kill me. That's not the point. The point is to realize that every second in this world is so valuable. It's not the attitude of living with my life. Oh, I forgot to do this. They're going to barbecue me now in Gehinnom. No, that's not the point. Hashem is not waiting in Shemaim with swords to cut you to pieces because you forgot something. That's not the point. The point is that you have to value every second of this world, every second of your life, what you're doing in this world. When I sat in the back seat of the car and the world froze, that's what's going on in my mind. How I wasted my life. That's it. Lights out. I'm out. What did I achieve? You know how I saw this world? Imagine how somebody comes to you and tells you, you see the jewelry store across the street? They're having a sale today. You go in there and for 3 hours you take whatever you want. So one person will be like, thank you so much. You are a very kind person. I have a nice watch. I have earrings. It's very kind of you. Another person will say, really? Okay. So he walks into the store, give me that watch and give me those diamond rings and give me that bracelet. And one person says, what did you say? 3 hours and it's all mine? Can you wait for a couple minutes? He goes home and he brings boxes. Fills these boxes full of jewelry and diamonds. And this is this world. Hashem puts you in this world and tells you, you have 60, 70, 80 years. Take whatever you want. It's all free. So one person says, thank you so much. My life is very good. I'm very happy here. One person says, okay, so I'll do that mitzvah. Once a year I'll do this. Once a year I'll do that. But the smart person says, what did you say? You're giving me here 80 years, 60 years, 40 years, and I can just grab these diamonds here? And all day long, he just does run after another mitzvah, another good deed, and another thing. That's the point. The point is to value every second of your life. And every second you can create worlds and you can destroy worlds. With one word, you destroy worlds. 1 second of anger, you destroy worlds. We have such power to what we're affecting our surrounding. One time you close your mouth, you feel like lying, you close your mouth. You know what it means in Shemaim? What a weight it has in the heavens. That's how you impress Hashem. That 100 times you lie, one time you shut your mouth. I'm telling you. Fireworks in Gan Eden, they're opening champagne bottles. He didn't lie! He didn't lie! That's how it works. We are put down in this world And the point is to value every second of this world, and every act that I do, I'm creating something. Or chas v'shalom, the opposite. And the truth is, a lot of people look at it in a way, okay, you know, maybe my expiration date is going to kick in soon. I don't like looking at it that way, because we're now so close to the time when Mashiach has come. Most of us are not going to even reach an expiration date. Mashiach is coming any second. You know that sometimes I go to shuls or to places, the rabbi catches me at the door and he tells me, scare them. Scare them. Tell them they're going to be burned in Gehinnom. You're laughing, but that's what a lot of people tell me. Scare them. I tell them, what's the point of scaring somebody? I'll tell you something even more scarier than that. You know that when Mashiach comes, what's going to happen? When Mashiach comes, each and every one of us is going to have a personal meeting with the king. Can you imagine? Walking into the room, the king is sitting, Melech HaMashiach. He's going to ask you, what's your name? Where are you from? What do you do for a living? He's going to ask you all sorts of questions. And then he's going to ask you the million-dollar question. And he's going to ask you, what did you do to make me come faster? Now what are you going to tell him? What are you going to tell him? I was on Facebook for 3 hours every day. What are you going to tell the king when he's going to tell you, what did you do to make me come faster? Did you do mitzvot? Did you help other Jews? Did you change something in this world? What did you do? That's going to be way more embarrassing than standing in front of Chas v'Shalom Gehinnom or some all these other things. And the reality is that it's happening right now. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out. That you can see with your naked eyes. It's the redemption is coming. It's right now. So every second that I have in this world is grabbing another diamond, another diamond, another diamond. Because these diamonds are forever. Forever. And the thing is that, you know, most places that I go, people look at me and tell me, listen, I understand what you're saying, but I'm never going to be like you. You're like fanatic. My answer is very, very simple. First of all, you don't have to be me. I'm me. You have to be you. But the reason why I'm fanatic, so to say, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story and then we can finish and then you can start your interrogation. There was once a king. And the king had an only son that finally, after years of being single, finally got married. And they made the biggest wedding in history. And everybody in the kingdom got an invitation to the wedding. One guy got an invitation in the mail. Can you imagine the excitement? Getting an invitation to the prince's wedding? He's like, I'm going to be in the palace? I can't believe it! He got so excited, he went and bought a new suit and new shoes. He got so excited, he pinned the invitation to the wall. He was counting the days. On the other side of town, another person also got an invitation. But he didn't get the invitation in the mail. He got a personal invitation from an entourage of people. You know who came to invite him? The second to the king. Ministers, generals, you name it, they all came to personally invite him to the wedding. Came the day of the wedding, the guy who got the invitation in the mail gets all excited, puts on his new suit, his new shoes, he puts his invitation in his pocket, and he walks out. The second he walks out of the building, starts pouring rain. Pouring rain. He's like, how am I going to make it? He's like, okay. As soon as I see the bus coming down, I just see it crossing the main intersection, I'll run out. Okay, the bus driver doesn't see him. He starts running out towards the bus. The bus driver continues going. He's like, hey! He starts running after the bus. Wait, the wedding! And the bus is driving off. And he's running after the bus. No, wait, I gotta go to the wedding. And the bus driver doesn't see him and he drives off. And he's running in the rain. He falls into a puddle, gets completely soaking wet. He gets out of the puddle and he's running after the bus. No, the wedding! And the bus drives off. And he's walking in the rain, soaking wet. A group of robbers, they come, they rob him, they beat him up, they take all his money, they throw him into another puddle. The other side of town, the guy who got the entourage invitation, he's not going on a bus. Limousines are lined up in front of his house. Helicopters in the air, soldiers are guarding him, they're lifting him up into the limousine like stuff. 12 o'clock at night, the wet guy finally arrives at the wedding. The gates of the palace are already closed. He's coming there soaking wet, gushing blood. The guards stop him. Can we help you? He tells them, yes, I'm invited to the wedding. They tell him, can we see your invitation, please? He's like, of course. He puts his hand into his soaking wet pocket and he pulls out his invitation. It's so soaking wet, there's nothing left of it. The guards telling him, we're very sorry, we can't accept this. So he's telling them, but I'm telling you, I'm invited. So they're telling him, we have to see an invitation. He's like, just check your list. I'm telling you, I'm on the list. I'm invited. We need an invitation. He's like, are you out of your mind? Look at, you know what I went through to come to this wedding? Look at me. I'm soaking wet. I'm gushing blood. I was robbed. I was mobbed. I was beaten up. I'm starving. I did nothing all day long. He's telling him, oh, no problem. You hungry? One of the guard goes into the kitchen, comes out with a plate of sushi. He's like, here, sit, eat. He's telling them, no, I'm telling you, I'm invited to the wedding. You're not coming in. He's looking through the gates to see inside. Maybe he knows somebody. Maybe he can pull some strings and protect you. He looks all the way in and he sees all the way at the end, the king sitting at the head table. Next to the king is the bride and groom. And right next to the king on the other side is the guy who came with all the limousines. And he's telling the guards, guys, I'm telling you, I'm invited to the wedding. You're not coming in. So the point of the story is very, very simple. Our sages teach us, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek la'olam haba. All the Jews have a place in the world to come. The only problem is how do you get there? And when you're finally there, where are you going to be? We're all invited to the wedding. All of us are going to be in that wedding. No exception. Just one small detail is where you're going to be when you get there. Are you going to be outside, gushing blood and wet with a plate of sushi? Or are you going to be inside? Now, if you're already inside, where do you want to be? I want to be next to the king. I want to be sitting right next to the king. So my entire day is devoted to the king. You know why? Because this wedding is an internal wedding. This is not an 8-hour wedding. This is an eternal wedding for the rest of eternity. So I want to make sure that I'm next to the king. I don't want to be in the crowd with the hors d'oeuvres. I want to be right next to the king. Some people say, I don't mind. I'm fine just being in the crowd. Fine. That's why every second in this world, you get one step closer to the king. Besides the point that I want the journey to be also soft. I don't want a bumpy journey. That's how I live my life. The point is to remember that every second of this world and every second of your life is a second that you can do something positive or chas v'shalom do something negative. There's no parv. There's no in the middle. You're either here or either here. And that's the main point. Not to tell you another 7 hours of details. That you can do now, you can interrogate me. The point is that you're living out this door tonight and you said, what am I doing tonight that I didn't do yesterday? So yesterday I did this, this and this. So tonight I'm starting to say Kriyat Shema Lamita. And tomorrow morning I'm waking up in the morning, I'll say morning prayers. It takes exactly 2 minutes. And then I'll do this and I'll do that. You know, when I was in Chicago first 2 years, I didn't look even religious. I didn't wear a yarmulke. I didn't wear tzitzit. I looked exactly the same. Business was as usual. And I still managed to pack in about 200 mitzvot every day. Easy ones. I would say the morning blessings. I would put tefillin on for 5 minutes. You know, a man puts tefillin on, he grabs like that, like 5-6 mitzvahs. Tefillin of the hand, tefillin of the head, tzitzis, shema. These are all mitzvot from the Torah. You say 18 blessings in the morning prayers. 18 blessings, just like that. Every time you put something in your mouth, shakol niyam bidvaro, takes exactly a second and a half. I grabbed, when I was in Chicago, I'm not exaggerating, 100 to 200 mitzvot every day, like that. And the point is not how much you do, it's what you do and how you do it. And the point is to remember that every second of your life, you can grab a diamond. And when you're grabbing a diamond, not only that you're affecting yourself for your eternity, you're affecting everybody around you. Everybody around you, your family, your husband, your wife, your kids, your friends, your community, your neighborhood, your land, your country, everything. Everything that I do, I'm affecting everything around me like a ripple effect. If I follow what the Torah tells me, so I'll be a normal husband and a normal father and a normal employer and a normal employee. I'm saying normal. I'm talking about with all not sorts of some nonsense. Torah is teaching us exactly how to be. The point is to remember a very, very simple thing is when you leave this door tonight that every second of your life, the clock is ticking. It's an opportunity to do another good thing. Another good thing. And the more good things that you do, you're making your life better, you're making your eternal life better, you're making your entire family's life better, and the most important thing, you're bringing the redemption one step closer. And that's the ultimate thing what we need to strive now, for the redemption, for the Gula to come in a very nice and calm and subtle way that we're, you know, the Gula can come keheref ayin. You blink the eyes, oh, Mashiach is here. No problems. Unfortunately, the Gula can come in a very not nice way. There's two ways how the Mashiach is coming now. It's only in our hands. The decision is left in our hands. If we are worthy, Mashiach is going to come like that. No problems. Nothing's going to happen. Countries are going to go into wars. One big mess. We're just going to sit like this. Well, and Mashiach is here. But Chas v'Shalom, it can come in a not such a nice way. So the Torah tells you, "V'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokechem chayim kulchem hayom." You're grasping Hashem. That's it. You'll be fine. Because the Geulah is coming, and it's coming very soon, and it's going to come like a tidal wave. Doesn't matter if the wave now is positive or negative, it's going to come like a wave. Whoever's not prepared for that is going to have a problem. And I know, it's, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I've been hearing about it for 2,000 years. No, we've been hearing about it for 2,000 years, but now it's happening. So the main thing to remember and to take out of this door tonight is, what am I changing tonight out of my life? That all the things that I just covered are taken care of. And when Mashiach comes, I'm 100% ready. And if Chas v'Shalom, the expiration date kicks in before he comes, then at least my journey is up, I'm calm, it's not bumpy, I'm going to get to the place that I want to get to. Every person does whatever they can in their abilities, but the point is to remember how powerful each and everything that you do. A lot of people say, you know, I'm not really observant, so what's the point? No, there's a big point. A lot of people tell me, I'm not really observing Shabbat, so what's the point? No. If you don't do 100%, then do 90%. You can't do 90%, do 5%. Do something. A lot of people say, I'm not doing anything, so might as well not do nothing. It's the worst attitude. The worst, worst attitude. I'll tell you one little short story and then we can finish. I had a student. He met me in a lecture like this. He got very inspired. Came to another lecture, another class. At some point, he started coming every morning to pray with us, Shacharit. Young man. One day, he doesn't show up. I call him up, I tell him, what's going on? You sick? He's like, I'm done with that. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I had enough with this. I feel like a hypocrite. I told him, why? He's like, you know where I was last night? I told him, I don't care where you were last night. He's like, I'll tell you where I was last night. I went to a party. I says, okay, no, as much. You know what I did last night? I told him, I don't care what you did last night. He's like, I'll tell you what I did last night. And he starts telling me everything that he did. He's like, yesterday night, I did all the sins in the book. And you think I have the chutzpah in the morning to show up in a shul and put tefillin on? I feel like a hypocrite. I told him, what does one have to do with the other? What is the fact that you yesterday night did a sin have to do with this morning that you're not showing up to pray? I don't understand. He's like, I feel like a hypocrite. I told him, who cares what you feel like? By you not coming, showing up this morning to pray, you know how many mitzvahs you didn't do? That you have to do? You have to put tefillin on. That's a mitzvah from the Torah. You didn't show up today. You didn't do a positive mitzvah from the Torah. Two of them. Tefillin over your hand and tefillin on your head. And by you not coming, you didn't put tzitzit on. Another mitzvah. And you didn't say Shema Yisrael. Another mitzvah. And you didn't give charity like you would give in the morning. Another mitzvah. And you didn't pray. Another mitzvah. Look how many mitzvot, positive mitzvot, from the Torah you missed because you feel like a hypocrite. Who cares what you feel? So get up in the morning, brush the dirt off, go to the mikveh, take a shower, and come back and pray. Who cares if you did a sin yesterday night, or 10 of them? So do tshuva, Hashem Bezrat Hashem will forgive you, and move on. Nobody's giving you a discount because yesterday you did something bad, today to miss something that you have to do? I don't understand this logic. I told him, let's say, chas v'shalom, today is the day for you to go up. How are you going to go up? What, with a bucket full of sins? So at least be smart and show up there with a barrel full of mitzvot. That at least the mitzvahs will overpower the bad things that you did. So what if you did yesterday a sin? As ma? So you do tshuva and then you move on. One has nothing to do with the other. And the Yetzirah will always come to you and tell you, you're not so religious, so what's the point? You're not really keeping Shabbat, so why are you particularly here? No. One has nothing to do with it. Hashem is looking at seconds, not at general things. You know how many years it took me to keep Shabbat? But in the times that I couldn't, then I at least reduced problems. So I would unscrew the bulb in the fridge. So every time I open and close the fridge, so I have, like the guy said with the cigarettes, 50 less. The point is not to look at it, you're looking at every little second. It can be 100%, but at least you do something. So the point is that you can't allow or let the Yetzirah come and tell you, don't pretend you're so perfect. So what if I'm not perfect? But at least I'll do something. And whatever I do with all my heart. That has weight. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. One little mitzvah can overpower 1,000 bad things that a person does. It's a basic law in physics. A little bit of light diminishes a lot of darkness. That's it. Turn now all the lights off here, pitch black. Turn one little candle, that's it, the light one. That's it. One little mitzvah. You can imagine the power it has in Shamayim. Of course, the point is to reduce and reduce and reduce the bad things. But the human nature, or so to say, the Yetzer Hara will always come and tell you, don't pretend you're so religious. Yesterday you did this, the day before you did that, well, now you're pretending to be such a righteous person? Yeah. So the point is very, very simple. We have a lot to do, and every second in this world counts, and every act and thought, and every little thing in your life is a huge thing, and every second of the day you can be tilting the entire world to kaf zchut, to be judged right or not. And I'm maybe a little one small person, but I am so powerful that one little act that I do affects everybody around me. And Bezrat Hashem, with our little acts, we're really going to merit that the Geula is going to come in a very subtle and nice, good way, and it should happen very, very soon. Bezrat Hashem, I wish you great success. And when you leave this door tonight, your path is going to be easy and clear. And your thoughts are going to be directed to the right place. Your actions are going to be to the right place. And that you take with you the right message out this door tonight, that every little thing that you do in this world, it echoes in eternity. You do bad in this world, so it will, chas v'shalom. You do good in this world, it will echo good for eternity. And that's what we want to focus on. So thank you very much for your patience. I wish you great success in your new path. And if you have any questions, you can feel free to ask. I think they're praying Shacharit around 6 here, so we have a couple hours.